Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Do me, baby. Oh, baby. I like it just like that. Yeah. Do me, baby. Yeah.
You can do me when you want.
You can do me in the morning. You can do me in the night. You can do me when you want to do me. Oh. It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love, wrong move, you're dead. That girl is poison. Poison like a poison dart. Poison ivy. Poison apple. Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is poison. Poison is a clubhouse. Some bad dude in the clubhouse.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Touch from Rich Radio Program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-777-7777.
The Jesus Hotline. Straight to the Lord.
That's right. That's exactly what we do. Jim Irsay, hello.
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
What's up, Jim Irsay? How are you doing?
You guys fired up.
Always.
Yeah, what's going on?
We're just fired up and, you know, getting ready for whatever you got in store.
Oh, man, today's a big day. I got hot yoga with Art Alexakis, and, you know, it's going to be a big day.
So you're a big Everclear guy? You know, what our own Scott Zolak got in some hot water, he couldn't resist jumping off the stage.
Yeah, I did that once, but I just passed out.
Okay. So you just kind of fell off a stage, is what you're saying.
Were you on pills at the time?
What's that, man?
Were you on pills at the time?
You know, whatever I can find, really. I mean, it's a good time. You don't even know. We were at this owner's meeting once, and they were like, Jim, raise your hand. And I was like, why, man? Are we voting? They're like, no, you passed out.
All right.
So, just testing you.
So, was it Mark Davis that helped out? He has to seem like your brother in arms to you.
Oh, man, I love Davis. Me and him hang out at the Chang's, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Hey,
Quentin, what's up, man?
That's right.
Hey, you fired up?
Yeah, Jim Irsay's just one of the guys.
He is, just hanging out.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are.
He's got the original scroll of On the Road. He's got, which is a scroll because it was in a speed-induced typing spree that Jack Kerouac wrote that. So he has the ream of paper. And then he has Jerry Garcia guitars and a bunch of other crap. And apparently if you go into his office, it's all displayed, and he's not afraid to take you around.
Man, hasn't you seen him dedicated to him in, like, some random restaurant across the street from a TGI Fridays?
It's not a TGI Fridays, nor is it a restaurant. It is a museum that is across the street from the hotel that we stayed at.
Okay. Fridays was attached to that. Maybe that's my problem.
Was that a Fridays or was that
it was a Fridays.
I'm almost positive it was a Fridays.
Yes, okay, because Fridays. I dined there frequently while we were at the Super Bowl as we lived the A-list lifestyle. But yes, I went to that museum and they had the Lombardi Trophy, which is not impressive at all, actually, if you walk by the Lombardi Trophy. Raises no kind of emotion whatsoever. You just look at it.
You haven't been to the one at Patriot Place where they got the three of them sitting there? What's that place called?
No, but I really got to go. I really want to go. Took
the kids to the Patriots Hall of Fame.
I bet you they were blown away.
They were. There are a lot of interactive things for the kids to do.
They just went, my God, look at these Lombardi trophies.
Look at the Lombardi trophies, Daddy.
I can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
There was one legitimate thing that kind of made me go, that's there, is that they have a life-size model of Randy Moss, and you forget just how freakishly tall that guy was. Yeah. Like, that's what you stand on. It's like, oh, yeah, Randy Moss was a giant.
Mm-hmm.
As you stand next to him.
He can run like the wind.
Yeah, but you're right, Fred. What they do in that room, it's almost like, you know, when the Wilson sister, who was kind of overweight and heart.
Kind of overweight and heart? Yeah, the Wilson sister that was hugely fat.
You know how they would put her on stage, and whenever they would perform live, there'd be like a bunch of dancers around her to make it look like there was tons of activity.
No, there was a video for These Dreams, which is their biggest hit, which was originally written for whom? Elton John.
Okay.
They submerged her in water. The whole video is Ann Wilson, running around, or am I right?
Nancy Wilson
is running around, with her guitar.
Yeah, she was the vixen. She was,
she was married
rock
to Cameron
Crowe.
Right,
yeah.
And she's dancing around with her guitar, and Nancy Wilson is submerged in water, and mm-hmm. you can only see her head. And that's the entire video. It's an excellent song.
Well, she was on one of these award shows, and it was just her, and because she doesn't really move that much, they just put her in the middle and put a bunch of dancers behind her. That's kind of what the Lombardi trophies are like when you go to the Hall of Patriot Place. You see, the three of them sitting there, but then there's this dramatic music playing in the room that you're in, and, these big, giant screens that have, confetti falling from the ceiling, fake confetti, digital. So you're right. You walk in, and the Lombardi might be... The most unimpressive trophy
a foot high.
In sports. Yeah, it's a little taller than that.
Well,
but
fine, a foot and a half high. And
no, I mean, it's probably, you're right.
All right, whatever. It's not very high. And then, it looks stupid. And you look at it and you go,
And it's just kind of boring and silver. You know, at least the Larry O'Brien's gold. It's that's kind
of
cool.
And then, of course, you have the Stanley Cup.
Well, the Stanley Cup is the greatest of all.
The Stanley Cup is the only one that anyone cares about.
Yeah. I mean, who cares about the World Series trophy? Although that looks kind of, it looks neat
with all the flags.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, the Lombardi is just, it's kind of garbage.
The Patriots have five of them.
But it's just a hunk. It's just just being a hunk of metal with a ball on the top.
Yeah, they didn't put a lot of thought into what it was going to look like.
You were talking about Jim Irsay and his, cool music collection, how he likes to hang out with a dude from the Counting Crows and stuff like that. Did you by any chance get to read, probably not because it came out fairly late, Ramona Shelburne, who covers the Lakers for ESPN, she did this in-depth behind the scenes of how the Lakers got LeBron James.
I'm about three-quarters of the way through it.
Well, then you didn't get to the best part, because it ends with a bang.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah. It ends with all of the advice that Luke Walton got on how to coach LeBron James.
I'm just getting into Tyronn Lue saying, you know what? I had a feeling that LeBron would come back. That was the part of the feeling.
Did
I
you
just
see where Tyronn Lue was when the announcement was made?
Yeah, he was at Aria, right?
Yeah, he was at a high slots table.
Yeah.
So he obviously was really, really worried about what was going on. He wasn't sitting by a phone. So he said, I'm just going to go get drunk and play slots. So he got calls from Eric Spoelstra. Luke Walton did. He got calls from some other people. But the best call, however, Fred, was from Luke's father, Bill Walton. Who do you want to guess where he called him from?
Simona.
No, that would be a Grateful Dead concert.
In San Francisco, right?
I don't believe it.
It doesn't specify.
I don't even believe that.
Well, just this is what the quote is. And you're right. He might have been lying. But Luke Walton is quoted as saying, he had drummer Mickey Hart in the background of the Grateful Dead yelling at me that the rhythm is the answer to everything in life. Luke Walton said with a laugh. So once I figure out what that means, we'll be good.
Yeah, Luke, why don't you get another Grateful Dead tattoo so you can be just like your dad, you big rebel.
So Bill Walton calls his son to congratulate him on getting LeBron James, and then hands the phone the Mickey Hart, the drummer of the Grateful Dead, to give him
one of, not the drummer, one of the two drummers.
Oh, they have two?
Right. Oh, yeah. They got two to keep the groove.
Okay, all right. In case one falls asleep, the other one can just kind of pick up the slack.
This is one of the...
Dallas got a soft machine. Houston,
and this is like the most upbeat of all their songs. It's like, this is a hit.
Haggerty is into the... like he Haggerty was in here expressing his love for the Grateful Dead.
Really?
Really?
He liked some disco-y song by them.
Okay.
Mike, what do you label those? You put in like a stack of amazing Grateful Dead songs in here that I can't find, where it's basically just people whispering.
Oh, no, this is...
But this is a song. Like, this one, I can't even knock it that bad. It might be a bad song.
But it's a song. No, but if this is your seminal song...
Yeah, and it is.
No, this is their song, and it's awful.
You can rip on this song, but the other ones... Like, this is the most listenable, probably, of all their songs.
No, they went through like a disco era... apparently that Haggerty was all about. Haggerty's impossible to look at with those stupid jerseys on and everything else. Who's filling in on Friday? Is it Haggerty again? Lose my mind. He's got those he's like a sausage in those stupid jerseys. They don't fit him.
Was he wearing those?
He always wears, every single time he comes in here, he wears a Star Wars baseball jersey every single time.
How many of those does he have?
10, 12?
No, he's got a bunch of them. Like, that, they're his passion.
No, but how many?
They're his passion.
No, I know that.
So he has not 10, he has like 50.
Oh, all right.
And he was going to Lowell. To the last weekend, because apparently they had some Star Wars.
Yeah, right. I saw a picture of him there. Yep. This is Grateful Dead.
This was. I'll give him more credit for this than Truckin'.
No, I won't.
They were experimenting. But no one bought their albums anyway.
Is it experimenting if like 70% of their songs sound like that?
We play more Grateful Dead. I hate them so much. So a bunch of people on Facebook, like, I guess it was like the anniversary of their last concert in 1995, and I just sat there and I'm like, Garcia's just like limping over, you dead prick. You're about to die. I watched some of it, and I'm like, look at you, about to die. Rot in the ground. I hope the devil was nice to you, you fat pig, when you went down there.
But if you do, Josh, don't put up Fred's picture next to Jerry Garcia on the screen.
That would be bad. Oh, John, you're directing the show, you cad.
Even what's his name, our new building mate, Jermaine Wiggins, yesterday, took a picture of Fred on TV and said, is that the guy from the Grateful Dead? And I'm like, that's a joke that was made like a month ago.
Oh, he's on top of everything. I can't wait to be annoyed by him.
Oh, he's going to leave us alone.
Yeah. You all but rolled out the red carpet for him.
I actually got a little bit of an anxiety when I saw a picture that our program director tweeted of the new studio, because I realized that, do you understand that our studio is the first thing people see when anyone comes upstairs for any station? So, like, literally everyone from every station, when they go to use the bathroom, when they go to get a snack, when they go to do everything, has to walk by our window and look directly at us. So it's going to be a whole lot of Wiggins.
I'm thinking Wiggins, not a lot of walking. All right, what's going on?
Not walking, wandering.
No, I don't think...
No, I get what you're saying, Fred.
Yeah, I don't think he's on 2 feet very often.
I've been over there twice, and both he's just been wandering.
What's the scooter that people use at Disney World?
He's going to be a rascal.
He's like a step away from the little rascal, I've been told. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
I guess some bad news in a sea of great news for the Red Sox. Now, while they've been playing, a little bit of bad news if you were a big fan of one of their, I guess, most known players of the past 10 years or so.
They're talking about Dustin Pedroia.
Something.
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich, if you're someone who's watching us on television, we end that on Friday, our choice, and want you to pick up the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can listen around the world to that app, and it has all our podcasts and everything up on there. So go to the App Store and get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's kicking a little song called Ass. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Rock and Roll Mike?
Right on. I got a little song. It's called Funny Girl.
All right. It's called Funny Girl. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Funny girls. Funny girls. You love rock my world. Oh, yeah. Funny girls. Funny girls. You rock my world. Oh, yeah.
All right, so you have two songs now, because you're working very hard on this record, right?
I'm working very hard. And, hey, I want to say something. I wish Nick all the best.
Okay, you're the one. All right, so you got Hot Balls and then Funny Girl.
Yeah, man, I got money for gasoline, everything going on. Gasoline in my veins, everything going on.
Are you working still down at Lansdowne? Are you back on the streets?
No, man, I'm ducking, man. I'm working on my album. This is going to be a thing like a Chinese Democracy or some like After the World type thing, man.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think the people miss you down outside of the Red Sox games. They miss Rock and Roll Mike.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But you know what I mean? I got to work on this album, and I'm working on stuff. And I'm working on stuff.
All right, well.
The album is going to come out. When it comes out, it's going to work hardcore.
All right,
it's going to be hardcore, and it's going to be unbelievable.
It's be hardcore?
Hardcore. It's going to have to be breathtaking.
All right, well, okay. Listen, Rock and Roll Mike, will you keep working on that record? He's legitimately not out on Lansdowne. He's now got two songs. He's got Hot Balls and Funny Woman or Funny Girl. Those are his two songs that he has so far.
That's weird because that was his happy place, being out there amongst the people on the street outside the Red Sox games.
Well, you know, there's a time to tour, and then he doesn't go out there unless he's got an album to promote.
I guess so. But that was that seemed to be where he found his joy in life. Now,
both of those
people.
Songs he did were better than Truckin'.
Yeah, now that I will agree. Well, even when the Red Sox throw a bunch of garbage on the mound, they still dominate.
You can get a lot for guys under control.
It's like a Russian doll. Where does it end? It is with one inside the other. Bobbly, bobbly, bing, bang, bong, bong, billy, bing, bing, bing. In a flume, blam, blam.
How is it like a Russian doll? Where
it just is.
I think it's
just
great.
One hit and then it breeds another one, I guess.
You branched out. Yeah. Now instead of salami Homer calls,
I didn't know what was happening.
There was no salamis.
No salamis last night.
There was no salami.
No salamis last night.
Salami-less game. Night.
Yep, there was that's a matter of fact, bookends of no salami games,
yes,
right?
Right.
So, they're still scoring a ton of runs, however. That is messing, and the Red Sox continue to embarrass anyone they put in front of them as they win their eighth straight. 8-4, the final score of the Rangers, and the Sox did all they could to try and spot Texas some runs. First of all, they had Blake Swihart starting behind the plate for only the second time this year. And he's doing fine behind the plate as well as at bat.
Martinez is doing.
Oh, that one is ripped. That one headed deep toward the 420 mark, sailing back there. Out of the warning track. It'll skip up into the stands, and that'll be two bases. Yeah. Boy, he can't hit a ball.
That's
too
a baloney.
Much better than that. This ball was covered.
Ground rule double?
Yeah.
Deep as a baloney.
One bounce into the triangle.
Yeah, that's a
beautiful
it's
swing.
It's a baloney. Not quite a salami.
Is that because it's phony? It's not really like a
phony
real
baloney. It's phony baloney. Done.
I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but yeah, that's warning track power. They used to kid Tony Pena. They go, get in there. You got warning track Tony power.
It's a good reference.
Tony Pena was an perennial all-star, John.
Yes.
Not exactly a terrible reference that's hard to figure out.
I know, but it's just at that particular time, it was unexpected.
I only have to get up this early two more days.
Until
and then I have a week and a half.
Yep.
And then you're going to be in Dorchester. I'll laugh.
All right, go ahead.
But by the way, it may sound like a broken record, but every time Eckersley's in the booth, it's just better. Yeah. It's just better whenever he's, when he's there. He was using some term last night. What was it, like sweaty? Oh, I don't know what the hell it was. But
it's like sweaty, like when you get out of the car wash and you go, like, boy, come on now. Give the Camaro a little rub with the diaper.
Well, on top of that,
this is going to leave water stains.
A rub with the diaper. Is that how they used to wash their cars back in the day? Like the turtle wax?
You don't want to scratch the paint job.
It was a diaper?
It absorbs everything.
Treat the car like a baby's bottom, my friend.
Well, yeah. When you get out of the car wash, you want the Southcloth boys out there, and you take a step out of the ride, and you hand them a hot one, and then you say, "Hey,
a hot one."
Yeah, you peel off a nice
dollar bill. I get it.
A nice George Washington. Yeah. And you hand it to them, and you say, "You say, boys, if I see a water stain, I'm coming back here and kicking everyone's ass."
And then Eckersley would just lower the glasses when he sees a hot little piece of hot little number drive.
No, he would just he'd go to the damn the thing where you get, and he just elbow and an armor all would come out.
The visual of Eckersley wandering down a supermarket just to buy Pampers for the car is quite warming.
It is amazing
his babe.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Like you know, like he some chick he knocked up in like '74, and he would go out there and he'd just like, baby, I brought you some Pampers. And she'd be like, oh, and Dennis, he's like, hey, don't touch the hair. He goes, I just need three of these. I'm going to the car wash.
Is there any other, like, star athlete that you can think of that's more just stuck in a look from a certain decade than he is? Like, I mean, usually when people have money, somehow a stylist or like a wife finds their way of making them kind of adapt to the times. He's just still straight out of, like, 1982. And he his look will never change. The way he talks, the way his hair.
Yeah.
The guy's just locked into that time. Well, on top of that, the Sox gave the Rangers a bullpen game with Hector Velazquez getting the start, who hadn't thrown more than 25 pitches in 2 weeks. And then Jalen Beeks came in. That was tough to watch. He was straight from Pawtucket.
Yep.
He ended up giving up 3 runs in 2 1/3 innings, although it could have been much, much worse.
Well, now Eckersley's got to put the beads on the driver's side. He has to, you know, he's a little bit of age creeping, and if he's going cross country, he needs to have the beads on the seat.
Well, Beeks or not,
he needs to lay back and get that working.
Is that
he's got to work his back out a little
bit. See, I didn't know that, like, cool guys did that. I thought that was just for, like,
No, it's not cool. He's not proud of it.
Okay.
But he needs to do it in case, you know, if he's going smoking the bandit on the people, I mean, if he's going cross country.
Well, the Red Sox roll. Here is Blake Swihart on Catching Again.
Yeah, you know.
Who cares?
Kind of having a bullpen day like that, it kind of helped me.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, trying to get in a rhythm with them is good.
Boom, boom, boom.
So now the Red Sox have scored at least 5 runs in 55 of their 93 games, more than any other team. So you got to feel pretty good about that. But one thing you shouldn't probably feel very good about is Dustin Pedroia's future in Boston.
Oof.
Because yesterday, the Red Sox told him to just go home. That's right. He's headed to join his family in Arizona where he can, quote-unquote, continue physical therapy and rehabilitation, although there's no baseball activity scheduled, no rehab assignment on the horizon. This is just, hey, just get out of here.
You say future in Boston. I say he's a Red Sox for the next 4 years.
Well, just, how much is he playing?
Physically, maybe not playing in Boston, but he's a property of the
rehab,
Red Sox.
They always told me to never quit.
That's a T-shirt.
Yeah, baby.
Here's Alex Cora on Dustin Pedroia.
He's gonna go to Arizona. He's gonna do his rehab over there with the PT that helped him out throughout the off season. We love him to be around here, but I think for now it's better off for him to go over there, disconnect a little bit from all this, and just concentrate on himself.
That's right. Sometimes you need a little time away. Louie, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you guys are talking about Dennis Eckersley's style, man. I mean, you're on Richard's style. What is that, the douchebag style? You guys talk about people being douchebags. I mean, you guys are the biggest douchebags. You look like you came out of a homeless shelter. Rich, why don't you shave that thing off your head? You look like a little mole.
Oh. Wait a second. All right, Rich. All right, wait a second.
This guy's freaking the yucks.
Wait a second. Now, that's out of bounds.
It's a little low, man. I was feeling kind of good about myself this morning.
You can't take it. You guys are like, you guys are gutless. When people say stuff about you, you want to hide in a little hole in the ground.
We took your call.
All right, man. Well, just saying, you know.
Are you saying we're fraudulent? Are you saying we're frauds?
Yeah, you're phonies.
Phonies and frauds?
Yeah.
Frauds?
Because we're ugly?
And also, Richie, you talk like you're an average guy. You're going to Nantucket. How come you don't talk about your vacation, man, with all the rich people?
That's true.
Going to Nantucket, I do talk about it.
No, you don't say anything about it. You act like you're the average. And also, you go to the wrestling game. That's where all the lowlifes go, man.
So am I a lowlife or am I a rich guy?
Well, you try and straddle both genres.
He's straddling both genres. You're saying he's trying to play the everyman, and then he's over there in Nantucket acting like a fancy pants. That's what you're saying.
What's the deal, man? I mean, you know?
Which one am I?
Well, I'm saying you're trying to play both sides. I mean, like, oh, I'm just an average guy going to the wrestling game, then you go to Nantucket the next week.
I talk about both.
No, but you're like trying to, you know, you always come in like with your little, your hat on and your little,
Now I wear a hat? That's your problem? So here's the problems you have with me. One, I have a hat. Two, I have a beard. Three, I enjoy Nantucket. And D, I like wrestling. You're
when
all
you
over the place.
You call other people douchebags, and then you guys are the biggest douchebags. I mean, just be real about it. You know, accept it.
I'm not a douchebag. Rich is.
No, you're both douchebags.
How am I a douchebag?
Well, we're going to Knoxville, man. That's a douchebag city.
Well, it's loud.
And
in
also,
Tennessee.
You're from Detroit. That's a douchebag city, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, Fred. Please. So, yeah. So
that's not, no,
Nantucket. Define a douchebag city. Hey, no, let me talk. Define a douchebag city. Define douchebag city.
No.
Because
listen.
You've given me Nantucket, and you've given me
Nantucket is a douchebag city.
It's an island. It's not a city.
Well, it's full of douches.
It's an island.
No question about it. But there, it's not a nice city. But yes, of course, everyone knows Nantucket's full of douches. I mean, that you're not.
There are plenty of them. Yes,
douches and water guys.
No, you couldn't pay me $5 million to have a house there. But yes, it's full of people that are full of crap and garbage. But then, how is Detroit in the same spectrum?
No, I'm just saying, there's a lot of lowlife from Detroit.
Yes, of course there are. That's why you're scheming. You understand what I'm saying? You got to rub two nickels to make 50 cents. You understand?
Is that what it is?
That's yes. Right, baby.
Yes.
Move and shake and headline maker.
There, we wanted to talk to you. You can't
That's
swear.
Twice. Now we got no dump. I mean, Nantucket is a terrible place.
It's not a terrible place. It's a wonderful place. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to.
And
it is
incredible.
There are
pants everywhere.
Oh, dude.
No,
I've ripped on that more than anything. There is a culture that goes
there.
I love it. It's beautiful.
No, but you're there.
When my wife got sick, we couldn't travel. So we just said, we got to find some place around here. We went. Scott Zolak suggested Nantucket. We went there and we bought a place because we can't. Because of the last couple of years, we had to cancel so many trips because we went out of town. We ended up having to married have medical problems. So we had to find some place close to us that we would do a ton of vacations. And that place is
amazing. But you've been able
amazing.
To go to Utah and Florida.
We have been, but we've also had to cancel many of those trips.
Right.
We try to get them in. So a place that we were going to go every year, that was it. And it's gorgeous, and it is filled with a decent amount in the town of douchebags. But once you get out of the town, it's gorgeous. The beaches are beautiful, and I unapologetically love that place. And
terrible,
Bill Belichick and I like to go biking together.
That's true. He likes to ride bikes.
I did actually see him on a bike this past week.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
And by the way, you want to know what he wears? You want to know what kind of shirt it is?
Oh.
Sleeveless.
Yeah.
No! Dude goes sleeveless white Under Armour.
Nice. Sleeveless white Under Armour, and then like real short shorts?
I didn't notice the shorts. To be quite honest, I was kind of just like
five
shocked
rings
by the
logo on it. Or
I don't know if the Under Armour thing has the five rings thing. Yeah, but he was rocking the sleeveless white shirt.
I can't recall the last time I was on a bicycle.
Got a basket in front of it, you know? Basket on the bike.
Groceries.
I didn't notice if he had a basket, but he might have had a bag. Like a satchel, like one of those like bike satchels that you have on the side.
Interesting. All right. Interesting. All right, Rich, what else will we talk about?
We got to get to a little bit of this new Red Sox trade rumors. On top of that, more on the Marcus Smart front.
All right. So we'll have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
Catcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Ed, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey. What's up, Ed?
Well, first off, I know you guys were talking about going off the air, but I didn't realize it was going to be this Friday. And one, I'm going to say I'm really sorry for to have you guys. I'm disabled, and I look forward to 6 o'clock in the morning because a lot of times I can't sleep at night. And I don't know what I'm going to do at 6 o'clock in the morning no more.
But well, then listen to the app or listen to the radio.
Yeah, you can still hear us at the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can download it right now.
I'm 65 years old. I have my godson taught me how to text just like 3 months ago.
So well, you know how to use the radio.
Yeah, well, okay. But I got a programming idea for you guys.
Okay.
Usually, Fred especially, you always like to rip on the establishment and stuff like that. I feel that on Friday, well, maybe you should do it tomorrow because Rich ain't going to be there Friday. Have, you know, you guys blank out people when they swear and stuff?
Yeah.
Stick it to the boss. Don't blank nothing out.
Well, I mean, we're still on the radio. Yeah, the show's not done.
I mean, our main source of income by far is still
right. No. We're going off of the TV side of things. We're still going to be here on the radio, and just download the app or turn on the radio. Unless you're someone who's watching us in Maine or a place like that, then you can still get the app.
Yeah, Brandon, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey. That caller calling in and calling you guys D-bags, Rich. He kind of made you explain yourself, and I feel like you shouldn't have to explain yourself at all, but I'm really glad that you did, and it makes complete sense. And, what Mary has done is truly inspiring, and, it stinks what you guys had to go through, but I'm glad you were able to find a spot in Massachusetts you could kind of vacation to. And,
oh, he's a douche. Don't let him use that as an excuse.
You're calling me a douche?
Yeah. Nantucket's a douchey place.
Yes, now, did you come up with that opinion while you're driving your Jaguar for Mr. Sid at Newton?
Nantucket is a douchey place.
What's douchier, going to Nantucket, a very beautiful place, or driving a Jaguar?
I don't think driving a Jaguar is a douchey. It's a Ford brand.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll agree to disagree.
When you consider douchey places on the planet, where would you consider Nantucket? Would you consider that a douchey place, John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
without question.
And
something Rich, by the way, has agreed with.
Dude, I came here and I was like, it's like wildly douchey. And by the way, it makes it somewhat fun for the people watching. Oh, yeah. Dude, I've said
you
that.
You got involved with a water gun fight the other day.
I was
day.
Not involved. I was assaulted.
According to Felger, you were part of it.
No.
All right.
That is a kid's water fight.
Okay.
That was a kid's water. It's a thing that they do
you
for
You handled
kids.
The water gun in the fight.
No, that's my understanding. Never
of
once shot a gun.
Okay.
No, that was shot him.
And that's
It was like a thousand kids. It was 1,000 kids shooting each other, and then all of a sudden a grown man comes up and shoots me, and I'm like, all right, dude, what is that? Actually, I thought it was kind of funny because it showed that Felger was somewhat of a normal human being and not a robot. But either way, it was like, what are you doing at a kid? It's like going to a kid's birthday party and finding a grown man in the bounce house.
Yeah,
that's what Felger was.
Yeah, Felger's at home in the act. That's what he does.
Now there is a massive population of these salmon pants. No, it's not even a population. It's like people who visit.
That's the normal.
No, it's not. It's downtown when you get there on the boat. Downtown. Like if you walk within like a one mile radius.
How big is the island?
It's 13 miles. Downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, like the douchebag central?
Yeah.
That's about maybe 15 blocks. And then there's 13 miles one way or the other, where it's just nice beaches and stuff like that, normal human beings.
I've never been to Martha's Vineyard, never to the Ack, ever.
Yeah. It's not big, it's tiny, but I guarantee you within 3 minutes of getting off the boat, you're going to see some dude wearing crokies and salmon pants and a sweater around his neck. They call him Chads. There's actually there's an excellent Instagram page called Chad Tuckett, and it's all those douchebags guys like either passed out or have wrecked their boats because they don't know how to do it, or they've gotten drunk and passed out like somewhere on a park bench. It's an excellent website called Chad Tuckett, and it's all of those people, and it actually makes it somewhat entertaining to watch.
Okay.
And yeah, it is that part is loaded with douchebags. Loaded with it. It's fun to watch.
Well, the island's loaded with douchebags.
No, just that part. Ask anybody who's been there. Like, once you get to the outside, it looks like Africa.
There's no way that a house goes for
anywhere close to under $1 million.
It's called an island. It's like there's not a lot of real estate. That's why it's like that.
Yeah, but
go there for the day, and it costs $27 on a ferry.
Right, you can go there for the day, but I'm talking about people that live there, that own property there.
Yeah, and there's also, but then again, where on the Cape it's like that. You can go to Hyannis, and it's almost the same thing. The Cape is expensive. I mean, you get a place on like an island.
It doesn't have the same kind of thing happening as Nantucket.
Well, Nantucket, as I said, is a higher condensed population of douchebags that wish to go to the town. Yes, absolutely. Although Martha's Vineyard's pretty close.
Well, but then you get the ghetto-y places of Martha's Vineyard. Like, where do you get off the boat there?
Woods Hole?
Oak Bluffs is no good.
Oak Bluffs is kind of like Panama City threw up on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, Oak Bluffs.
That's like t-shirt shacks and stuff.
Yeah, like Edgartown in Martha's Vineyard, I see. But no, Oak Bluffs kind of takes that all away.
Downtown Nantucket is like Edgartown with, like, they just dropped a bunch of, you know, like trust fund guys right in the middle of it. That's downtown.
And sounds like fun.
And it's like drunk people passed out in front of the vineyard vines. That's what it is. And then outside of that, It's wonderful.
So you don't venture into town much?
I actually don't go that much. I really don't. Every once in a while, if there's somebody in town that like, you know, like if I meet a friend or something like that, they'll want to go to dinner there. Someone who doesn't normally go there. But I pretty much 90% of the time stay away. Unless my kids want to do something. Like Bill Belichick is at a part of the island called Sconset, where if you just don't want anyone to ever see you, that's where you go. It's like there's nothing there. There's one little market that apparently every morning between like 8 and 10 a.m., he goes and picks up a newspaper and a muffin. And everyone knows Bill. Huh? And that's all that's there for like 7 or 8 miles is this one little market and Bill Belichick. And I guess he's like
riding
a bike in a white sleeveless Under Armour shirt, which is not very becoming.
Any tattoos that are...
It was such a quick thing that I didn't think it was him at first.
That's
and then
a small of his back. You're not going to see that.
Like right over his butt crack.
Yeah, he's got like the Jovi tattoo. The Jovi tattoo's in the small.
You should have
back.
Asked him to, you know, rocky it with you and take off the shirt and jump in the water. All right, real quick, what do you got?
So Manny Machado, everyone knows that there's all these rumors about the Yankees taking a look at him, but according to the Baltimore Sun, Boston has been in recent contact with the Orioles about a potential trade. As a matter of fact, the Baltimore Sun writes, in the wake of reports that the Yankees have renewed their interest in Manny Machado, who industry sources indicated Tuesday the Red Sox have also been in contact with, quote, the tightness of the American League East race makes that almost an imperative for the Sox. And they said the only question is whether the Orioles would deal with either of their chief division rivals.
They're gonna price themselves out against both of them. You can't trade Machado in division without getting a huge haul.
You can trade him to the Yankees.
Huge haul. Well, they're gonna ask for a ton more from an interdivisional
team.
And
then if I'm the Yankees, I go no.
Yeah, probably.
And then they're gonna sit on Machado and let him leave?
No. The greatness of Baltimore and the greatness of Dan Duquette, which Baltimore is now finding out that we knew a long time ago here in Boston, is that he's completely incompetent when it gets to this point.
Right. So if the Yankees want him, and the Yankees apparently are leaders right now in the clubhouse, if the Yankees want him and Baltimore goes like, all right, you know, you'll have to overpay way more than anyone else. Then they can go, no. And they can go, you can sit a Machado for the rest of the year, and then he'll leave. And then we'll sign him in the offseason. By the way,
also, like Ken Rosenthal at the beginning of the season, remember he said that there's nothing that matches up in order to get him, that the Red Sox
Sox are doing due diligence. They won't.
That doesn't sound like they're
if anything, try and drive up the price
by
a little more for the Yankees.
By the way, if they get Machado, good thing. Have fun with that, Red Sox, because that right-handed lineup is now your two big lefties. Have fun dealing with that right-handed lineup. Stanton, Judge, Machado, all in a row.
If the Yankees get him, yeah.
If the Yankees get him, yeah, you're screwed.
But the thing, real quick about this, the thing with Machado is he says he no longer wants to go back to third base. Like, he has any say in the matter. But he's been quoted as saying, if I get traded, I don't want to go back to third base. Well, if the Yankees get him, they're not moving Gregorius, who's had a pretty good year. They're going to move him to third base. I mean, that's where he's going.
I think he can sit at third base for half a season.
You would think. But, I mean, baseball players like this, you never know. You never know what ego will you know.
All I know is that if you stack that many righties up against the Red Sox in that quality of right-handed hitter, they're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
The Yankee series is, I mean, there's a problem with the Yankee series. I mean, we started with David Price, but yeah, if the Yankees get Machado, considering the left-handed strength of the Sox rotation, yeah, that's a problem.
And by the way,
especially in that bandbox ballpark.
According to Bovada, which is a gambling website, they get some of these odds straight from Vegas. The Yankees right now have the best odds to win the American League pennant at plus 190. Then it goes Astros at plus 200, and then a huge drop to the Red Sox at plus 400. Which that seems a little strange to me.
This is one of the best teams record-wise in the history of the franchise. But you watch the Red Sox for a week. There are inherent flaws that need to be fixed. I mean, the bullpen is one. Their inability to hit lefties is another. I mean, Steve Pearce is nice. But, yeah, I mean, there are things there that are glaring weaknesses that pop up during a playoff series. They got to get these fixed.
All right. Well, there is nothing like talking to someone who's been living with their son for about a month and a half in a one-bedroom apartment, and we did so, and we'll have that for you in just a moment.